Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yenatasmai Shigurve Namaha. So we are members of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. The other devotees are coming or no?
I did message Radha Baba Mataji that class started 15 minutes ago.
You did message her?
Yeah. Should
I remember? Yeah. And Radha, I saw Radha Radha's family going out a few minutes ago.
Yeah, they said they'll go.
Yeah, that's right. They had the things to do for the wedding.
So, should I give Radha Baba Mataji a call?
Yeah, that would be a good idea if they came. So we're members of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, which means the Sampradaya coming from Lord Brahma, passing down through, of course, Vyasadeva and Narada Muni. Of course, Narada Muni first, then Vyasadeva, and all the way to Sripad Madhvacharya, and then all the way to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers. So Madhvacharya is very important. He taught the Dvaita philosophy, the dualism. Dualism means that there's the spirit and matter. But Lord Chaitanya's presentation was a little bit more refined than that. Not that Madhvacharya's presentation was wrong, but he didn't refine what we call Chincha Beda Beda Tattva, how Krishna is one and different from everything simultaneously. In other words, the sun and the sunshine, one sense are the same, in another sense they're different. Or the energy and the energetic, in one sense are the same, in another sense they're different. So, anyway, so Madhvacharya has his ashram in Udupi.
They're coming.
They're coming. That's nice. Thank you very much. So he has his ashram, in Udupi. And in Udupi there's two very wonderful deities. His dancing Gopal deity, in which that deity was the deity that he discovered when he was bathing in the ocean in Udupi, and he found a chunk of like Gopi Chandan, and that Gopi Chandan had within it that deity. Mm-hmm. And the other deity is the deity of deities of Sita and Ram. Mm-hmm. And those are the deities that were originally worshipped by Vivaswan and Manu, Ikshvaku, and actually even those deities were given to Ram and Sita. But Ram didn't want to worship the deities because he's not going to want to worship himself. He wasn't into that. And so therefore he put them in a closet. And Prabhupada tells the story that once upon a time there was a Brahmin in Ayodhya who would not take prasadam until he saw Ram that day. So the Brahmin had a problem because Ram sometimes would go on pilgrimage. You heard the story already? No. Ram would go on pilgrimage, so which meant the Brahmin had to fast. And so Ram was very compassionate, Patita Pavana, Sita Ram. Are they coming? Okay. Oh, come in. Where's the rest of everybody? They're coming. So, anyway, so Ram was very compassionate. And he thought, let me give these particular devotees, this Brahmin, the deities, so they can, he can see the deities every day and then eat. So he gave the Brahmin the deities of himself and Sita. Then, what happened when that Brahmin got old, he gave those deities to Hanuman. And then those deities were given to Sripad Madhvacharya. Because Sripad Madhvacharya is what we call Vayuputra. Vayuputra. There's actually three famous Vayuputras. That's me. Who is not a Vayuputra. I'm a Mayaputra. So, son of Maya. Anyway, so not directly, son of Maya, directly. So, otherwise it'd be like Kartikeya or someone like that. So anyway, so there's famous Vayuputras. The first one was Bhimsen, who was Vayuputra, right? Next one is Hanuman, he's Vayuputra, and then Madhvacharya. There's three famous brothers like that. So Madhvacharya is actually Vayuputra. Bhimsen. Bhimsen. You remember Bhimsen? Yeah. Pandavas? Pancha Pandavas?
I think someone.
Karna is the son of the sun. Bhimsen is the son of Vayu. Isn't it? When Kunti, she prayed to Vayu and then she got Bhimsen. And right after Bhimsen appeared, she made a mistake. She dropped Bhimsen. By accident, she was holding Bhimsen up and it just went, dropped to the ground. And she thought, oh my God, he's going to die. But he split all the rocks. There's that story. It's in the Mahabharata, that particular story. So anyway, so those are the three Vayuputras. Today is Madhvacharya's disappearance day, for those of you who don't know, who weren't here in the beginning. So before he appeared in this world, there was one man who was like a nobody. You know, in other words, not known, not a Brahmin, just a nobody. He was possessed by Krishna. And he made the announcement just in the air in front of everybody that the wind god's son would soon appear in Udupi. You know, so Krishna was speaking through the mouth of just like a nobody. Of course, I'm sure he was somebody, but at least not well known. And so in order to have such a great devotee, the father and the mother drank only milk for 12 years before they conceived him. And they were bringing the baby back. The first time they took the baby, Madhvacharya, to the temple, at night, they met a Rakshasa who possessed a man. You know, there was a man possessed by a Rakshasa. And the Rakshasa said, only your little baby's feet can cure me. And so they touched the feet to this man, and the Rakshasa went away. Feet of the little baby. So he was such a voracious eater, just like Vrikodara, that's Bhimsen, that he would drink his mother's milk every half an hour.
That's cute.
What?
That's pretty cute.
Well, that's a biography. And then he had his anaprasna, which is when you first take your grains, you know, like 6 months or something like that. So his mother was gone, so his sister's thinking, you know, how am I going to feed my little brother? And so she fed him 40 kilos of horse grains for his 40 kilos he ate. I mean, he was a voracious eater too. Of horse grains for his anaprasna. It was pretty good. And so strong, even when he was a little kid, he was grabbing bulls, different bulls' tails, and was riding all day long. Another interesting thing happened when he was a little kid, that his father owed some money to one of his creditors. And this creditor went to the house and he just sat there. He said, I'm going to sit here until you pay me. And little Madhvacharya was known as Vasudeva at that particular point. He gave this creditor some tamarind seeds. He says, here's the payments, my father's debt. And then the creditor thought it was real cute, but then he looked at his hand and he saw they were all gold. It's pretty interesting. So one time he got lost and Lord Vishnu came and he escorted him to a temple. So Lord Vishnu was always taking care of him. Everything. He had a perfect memory. He learned everything immediately. And one time his father, who was actually a very expert reciter, made a Sanskrit mistake. And even though he was like 4 years old, he corrected his father like that. His father was actually very pleased. At 5 years, which was normal, he took his Upanayana, that means the Brahman thread and the Brahma Gayatri. And at the same age, he killed a big demon that came to attack his house. It was a snake demon named Maniman. It was three heads. And he killed him by his toe. He just put his toe on the snake demon. And one time his mother called him, and he was able to jump several kilometers to see his mother. Just like Hanuman. He was just like Hanuman. So his teacher, he wasn't so much interested in studying, so the teacher accused him of not studying, and then he proved that he didn't need to study. So he recited all the verses perfectly, and also He recited all the future lessons the teacher had not given yet. And he cured his teacher's son's headache by blowing in his ear. And so, wow. He had a guru who was a Mayavadi, and his name was Achyuta Preksha. This guru was previously a bee, talking about bees. And that bee was fed by Draupadi before. So because the bee was fed by Draupadi, the bee had that Agyata Sukriti to actually become the guru of Sri Padmavacharya. And his guru was very intelligent because his guru, even when he was very small, before he took sannyas, before he took initiation, his guru would always ply him with sweets. So, you know, you can win the heart of a kid by plying him with sweets. You can actually try that sometime with a little baby. You take a little sweet, you know, sweet rice in your finger and you put it in their mouth. And then they look at you whenever you come in the room. It's true. Sometimes I do this Annaprashana ceremony with the kids, and I give them the sweet rice. First, they don't know what they're eating, and then they keep looking at me. And later on, they take initiation. And they get older. I did that with Mayapur, so. And it worked. It worked. It was actually good. It's a trick. So his guru, it's actually guru, he used to call him the sweet guru. Because guru would always give him sweets. So he wanted to take sannyas when he was like 7. And his parents said, no, we got to have it. Because he was the only son. So he made a deal with them. If you have another son, can I take sannyas? And they said yes. And they were thinking they would never have another son. Because his mother was like 49 or 50 years old or something like that. And then lo and behold, about a year later, his mother had a son, and he took sannyas at 9 years of age. Pretty good. And he was known, when he took sannyas, as Purna Pragya. That means full of knowledge. Purna Pragya. So his guru was very attached to him, and his guru would not even give him permission to go to the Ganges, because Guru wanted him to stay with them. So he brought the Ganges to Udupi through his mystic powers. And he established the proper understanding of the Bhagavat, because he has his commentary, of course, on the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada used, and defeated Jains and Buddhists. And after they were defeated by him, they ran away rather than show up the next day for the final argument. Whoops, oh there. Newly married couple having, or engaged couple having their talk. Oh, it's just a guard?
With a girl.
With a girl, it's a guard? It's not Nandanandana with it? I mean, not none of this. So, so Madhvacharya, or Madhu, means honey or nectar or bliss, the acharya of bliss. It's interesting. Sometimes he would eat a tremendous amount. It's described one time he ate a big meal. After a giant meal, he was offered 200 bananas, plantains, and he ate them all at one particular time. So then finally when he became known as the Acharya, he went to the south, because he was born in the south, actually. Not really the south. I mean, Udupi is like all the way in the west. But, and he defeated the head of the Shankaracharya Math, named as Vidya Shankara, who tried to harass him by stealing his books, but he was able to defeat him even without the books being there. Oh. More Vaishnavas, missing class. Many miracles he performed. One time there was a pregnant lady in the village, and this village had no water, so he was very concerned with this lady. So he put his danda in the ground, and then a well came out of the ground immediately. Amazing stories about him. So then he wrote the Gita Bhashya, or commentary on the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and he went all the way to Uttara Badri, which is Badrika Ashram, but all the way in the top. That means the section of Badrika Ashram that we can't get to, because it's actually in a higher realm. And he showed Vyasadeva his Bhagavad Gita
because he was able to get there.
He had a disciple named Satyatirtha who tried to follow him, but Satyatirtha couldn't get there, and on the way Madhvacharya, he just waved his hand at Satyatirtha, who was actually about 100 meters away, and Satyatirtha flew back to the ashram at the base camp of the mountain. Pretty interesting. Then he composed the Brahma Sutra commentary, analyzing the three aspects of Krishna consciousness, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So in the Bhavishya Purana, which is about 5,000 years old, tells the story of Madhvacharya meeting with Lord Chaitanya in Navadvipa, how he would do that. And Madhvacharya was told not to describe Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, as the world was not ready for it yet, to leave that up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once upon a time, he was swimming, and there was a ship that was in danger in the ocean, because Udupi's on the ocean. And he created a wind to save the ship. He was so powerful, because he's the son of the wind god. And then they offered him some prize, and he said, "I just want some Gopi Chandan." So when he put this Gopi Chandan in the lake, it dissolved, and a deity of Bala Krishna came out. That's what I mentioned before, dancing Krishna. And as I described, he worshipped deities of Sita Ram that were previously given to him by Hanuman. I mentioned that story already. Some of you were not there. Then he was so strong, he would regularly have wrestling matches with his disciples. That was actually, sadhu sangha for his disciples, to wrestle with the guru. One time, a wrestler challenged him, some big famous wrestler challenged him, and he said, "If you could move my big toe, you could win." The wrestler couldn't even move the toe of Madhvacharya. He was so strong. Another time, he was going someplace, and the king tried to engage him in digging a lake, and he engaged the king in digging the lake. And one time, the thieves attacked him, and instead of fighting with them, he gave them a bag of stones. Instead of jewels, he said, "This is jewels." And the thieves thought with each other and killed each other. On the second visit to Srila Vyasadeva in Badrika Ashram, he was told to explain the Mahabharata. And in the Mahabharata, which is called the Tatpara Paraya Nirnaya, he told the truth of the Mahabharata from the first person perspective, which is really interesting. I've read part of that work by Sripad Madhvacharya. Also, he wrote a commentary on the Ramayana. One day he took his disciples to Hastinapur, and he told them all the stories from his memory. Like, had he been there, as if he had been there. He showed them Bhima's club, which had been buried there. Wow, very interesting. And then he showed where everything happened at Kurukshetra. One time his disciples needed some fruits, and he put some seeds in the ground and sung to them, and the tree came out immediately and bore fruits. So, this is really an amazing personality. So he left this world while speaking the commentary on the Upanishads, and as he left this world, the demigods showered flowers upon him, covered him, and when the disciples uncovered, took all the flowers away, he wasn't there anymore. He just disappeared. And that's the story of Sripad Madhvacharya. And Madhvacharya is very important for us because he is our modern-day Acharya in the Gaudiya, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we'll keep it short tonight. So any questions about that, about Madhvacharya? very important. And tomorrow, it's Ramanujacharya. We have more stories about Ramanujacharya. It's his disappearance day tomorrow. So Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, because Ramanujacharya is the acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. The Sampradaya comes from Lakshmi. We have four Sampradayas. We have the Lakshmi Sampradaya, the Kumara Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, and the Brahma Sampradaya. These four Sampradayas. Very, very important. And no one can or should receive knowledge in any other way than through these four Sampradayas, spiritual knowledge, that is. The statement in the Hari Bhakti Shudaya is Sampradaya Vinaya Mantras Te Nishpala Mataha. That if your mantra is not coming in a Sampradaya, that mantra has no value. So people are just chanting without mantra coming in the proper Sampradaya, has no value. Of course, the Hare Krishna mantra does come in Sampradaya, so it has value for everybody. But we're talking about other mantras like Gayatri mantras and other mantras like that. If they're not given by a guru and representative in the proper Sampradaya, then it's not going to be useful. In other words, one can do whatever you want. But if one just reads some mantra, like you can read about the Gayatri mantra, there's so many books that have been published about it, and you start chanting, like there's these groups, these Gayatri groups. Isn't it? Gayatri Pravaha. You know, there are many of these groups, and they actually have kirtans while they're chanting Gayatri. You heard about that before?
They do fire sacrifice,
they dance around, but they're not initiated properly, so it has no value to them. They can chant all they want. I mean, certain words in the Gayatri, like Om, have value for everybody because that's actually coming down to simple succession. That's non-different than Krishna. Radha and Krishna, the living entities. But they don't get the value of chanting Gayatri unless you're initiated. Initiated by the proper person. Otherwise, it's useless. Sampradaya Vinaya Mantras Tema Nishpala Mataha is the statement. Okay, we'll keep it short tonight since we had interesting experiences today. I don't know if you all heard about it. No, we had this initiation. We'll tell you the story. We had this initiation we did, and before the initiation I was saying, well, let's see what sort of reaction we get. So, right when we finished, or the priest finished saying all the prayers, there were thousands of bees that attacked us. And the devotees were running around, including me, running around in circles and getting bitten too. And we were running away down the road, the bees were following us. I got bit about four or five times, some devotees more. It was right at the end of the sacrifice. You got bit too. Really? It was actually an interesting experience at Braj. Too bad you missed it. It was a nice initiation. We were in the middle of the initiation while we were saying the fire sacrifice, and wondering why all the devotees were getting up and running around. Like they were crazy. They're all running around going like this, this. I said, wow, they're experiencing symptoms of ecstasy here. And then after that, the bees went after me, so that was it. That was today's experience, but it's a little bit exhausting, so we'll keep everything short tonight. Yeah.
Is Madhava Chakra, do we have information?
What?
Do we have information about who is
Madhavacharya
in spiritual world, like in...
Oh, he's the son of the sun god. I mean, I don't know. No, that information is not given. But he's the son of the sun god. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, he's a pure devotee, son of the sun god, able to go up to the top of the Himalayas, immeasurable strength like Bhim Sain. You know, he could leap like many kilometers at a time. Defeat whole armies. I mean, it's like Hanuman. Who is Hanuman in the spiritual world? Hanuman is Hanuman in the spiritual world. And it's interesting, the residents, or let's say the associates of Lord Ram, are expansions of the associates of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Like you take Garuda, for example, the bird carrier of Lord Vishnu. In Goloka Vrindavan, he's a coward boy. He's an expansion either of Srinam or Sunam in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. So any of the abodes of the Lord or pastimes of the Lord, the personalities you find are expansions of personalities in the spiritual world. Just like in Krishna's pastime, you have Drona and Dara. They're actually expansions of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And also Vasudeva and Devaki are expansions of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So there's expansions. Sometimes when you talk about expansions, it refers to empowered expansions. Like you'll see that, for example, there'll be a Shaktivesh avatar, like Prithu Maharaj, or other personalities. Even Parashuram is a Shaktivesh avatar. And they're jiva souls like you and I, but they've been empowered in a certain way, so they're also considered avatars. Because the word avatar means to cross down or to descend. So what may descend is either the person or the potency. One of the two things can descend, or both, obviously. You understand? So the potency descends. Like we say, Prabhupada is a Shaktivesh avatar. That means Shakti Avesha. He's actually given the Shakti. The Shakti is descended. And Prabhupada, of course, came from the spiritual world, too. So he's descended, but actually what's important as far as the word Shaktivesh avatar is the Shakti has descended. So anyone who is actually a pure devotee preaching on behalf of the Lord can be considered a Shaktivesh avatar. Because the Shakti is always descending. If he's a pure devotee preaching, a pure devotee will be preaching on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he's empowered. I mean, I think by definition, any pure devotee is a Shaktivesh. Because they're given the Lord's potency. Not only preaching, Prithu was a king. And he was Shaktivesh. And Parashuram, he did a lot of interesting things. As Kshatriyas, so many times. Anyway, so as far as Madhvacharya, he's a great personality, empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his commentary, Tatpara Niranaya, on the Mahabharata, he states that in the present day and age, the Mahabharata has been changed. In other words, we don't have the Mahabharata in its original form. There's been things added, things taken away. So therefore, you find some apparent contradictions between what the Mahabharata says and the Bhagavatam about certain things. So we accept the version of the Bhagavatam because the Bhagavatam has been passed down to cyclic succession, untouched. Whereas the Mahabharata is not. The Mahabharata is actually, because it's an oral tradition. See, there's an interesting difference between the original four Vedas, the Rig Veda, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Veda, and the Puranas and Itihasas, because the original four Vedas were always passed down verbatim. That means exactly each syllable is repeated by the disciple. That was the nature. Like a guru would say, Om, and the disciple would have to say in the same meter, Om, and the guru would check, and he had to memorize the whole thing. But the way the knowledge in the Puranas and Itihasas is passed down is through stories, basically. You understand? Not through exact repetition, but through stories. So when you have a broken disciplic succession, which most of the Puranas have been passed down in broken form, then you're definitely going to have some difference in the presentation. And that's a big problem. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, no. Because they've been passed down by pure devotees who we can understand who they were, you know, we have a whole line of disciplic succession, like we talked about before, that Madhvacharya visited Srila Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva got instruction from Narada, and Narada got instruction from Lord Brahma. And so we have a delineation of all the members of our disciplic succession. You know, and there's Bhakti Sananta Saraswati, of course, Srila Prabhupada, etc. Okay? So maybe we should end early, because tomorrow there is no parikrama. I will be going to Vrindavan tomorrow morning. At 6 o'clock they're coming to pick me up. And I will be coming back for the engagement.
At noon?
Which is at noon, yeah.
Gurudev, you're going to Krishna Balaram Temple?
I will be visiting Krishna Balaram Temple, yeah. I mean, just to see, take darshan of Prabhupada Samadhi and the deities and everything, yeah.
Are you going to Gurudev?
No, she's coming here. They're coming here for the engagement, and then afterwards they come into the house. So I'm not going to their place. But I'm going to see another devotee named Anadi Krishna, who's in the hospice right now. And also going to visit another disciple of mine, Sri Radhika, who just had a baby and she couldn't come out here. So basically that's why I'm going for three things. To take darshan of the Prabhupada Samadhi, the deities, real quickly. Then to see Sri Radhika, and her husband's taking me and he's taking me back. So you will offer it, and then I will take it with me.
Okay.
You will pack it. Tiffins. Tiffin time. No, right, some of it you can pack. They're going to give me fruit there. The other things they don't have, I can take with me. I'm just going to take the stuff that they won't have there, like the nut butter and the puff quinoa. But everything else they're going to have, because they're going to give me fruit. Mm-hmm. Oh. All right. I guess we shouldn't be online.